This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Dungeon, 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 dungeon.
Welcome to Dungeon Courts.
Dun, dun, dun.
We are your Supreme Crit Justices, Murphy, Axford, and Tanner, joined as always by the... How are we feeling about Jake this week?
We love him.
We love him.
We all have a crush on him, actually.
We have a problem with how much we love him.
Yeah,
we're fucking
kind of
fighting over him, and Emily, you need to back the fuck off Jake.
We are joined by my friend... Bailiff Jake Hurwitz.
Hey, thank you.
Your friend. That's funny. That's really funny.
Yeah. He actually hung out more after last recording than you did, Caldwell. So
okay.
Me and Jake actually got a lot of time together.
Yes. Fight for me.
I had to take my family to Thanksgiving. What was Jake doing?
And with that, Hear ye, Crit is now in session. The Honorable Supreme Crit Justices Axford, Murphy, and Tanner are presiding. Shall we leap right into it with our first case?
Whatever you want, best bud.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Why don't we do it? This feels nice. I feel really...
Yeah,
really,
and you're also doing a really great job, Jake.
Jake likes, you know, like a reciprocal relationship, like a little guidance, like your own opinion. So Jake, I think it's time to do it.
Ooh. I think you should stop like putting words into Jake's mouth.
That's true too. I don't know. Wow.
Jake, you're handling all this attention really well.
Really? You think so? Because, yeah, sometimes I shy away.
I want to kiss your feet, dude.
Oh, Caldwell wins. Okay. Stories Podcast, a.k.a. Harks, writes in, and they say, Supreme Justices and the J-Man himself.
Yeah.
I present to you... The case of the girlfriend versus Helm Hammerhand. Mm. I played a session of D&D with my girlfriend and some friends where we defended a keep. After the session, I was jazzed up and wanted to keep my excitement going by watching the Siege of Helm's Deep in Two Towers.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Okay. Parentheses. Did you know Viggo really broke his toe?
We've never talked about this. We've
that
never talked
be
about
a
this.
Shirt. Did,
yeah.
you know?
Did you know?
Did you also know he kept the horse? Did you know that?
I think that's arguably a cooler fact.
Yeah.
Is there a third Viggo fact though?
A third like Viggo
there's
fact.
There's two big.
You
Viggo
need more
facts.
Than the Viggo toe.
Yeah.
The Viggo toe gets me almost
that's
across
no
the line.
That's a no go for the Viggo toe.
I don't get to full climax with just two Viggo facts. So I'm going to be looking up Viggo facts
yeah,
while you
go
talk.
Go ahead. Just sort of space out for the rest of the episode.
Like a real judge. My girlfriend wanted to go to bed. I told her I was going to stay up and watch something. And she said, just watch it in bed so we can cuddle and she can go to sleep. Well, okay. We laid down and I put on the movie, skipping to the Helm's Deep part. She seemed a little annoyed by the battle sounds and the war trumpets, but she completely lost it when Gimli blew the horn of Helm Hammerhand and it was pretty loud. She asked, what the hell was I doing? And I said I was watching a movie in bed, like she asked. I turned it off rather than arguing because I'm not that much of a psychopath. But my girlfriend told her family this story at Thanksgiving and they all took me to the raspberry patch. I maintain she told me to watch it in bed. Am I wrong?
I mean, I
oh
love your vibe.
God. I love
and
this.
And I love
like,
that you got razzed.
I yeah. love this little tiptoe into Miss Manners vibe.
I really like that you established the baseline that you're not a psychopath. I feel like we need more people to do that just to like give us like one personal detail about themselves that lets us know that they are, in fact, not fully crazy.
Right.
I've also gotten like fully just taken down to the old raspberry patch by my wife's family. So like, I get this. I think that it just comes with the territory a little bit.
Yeah.
Like you got to just accept the fact that like it's easy points for your in-law family. It's easy points for your partner just to like slam dunk your ass in front of like her beloved family and friends.
I also think that getting taken to the raspberry patch by your in-laws is the ultimate sign that they like you.
That's acceptance right there.
Right.
You're 100% correct.
But I think here's the deal. The question really is, was it okay to watch the Battle of Helm's Deep in bed?
I think you are not wrong in this situation. She said, just watch it in bed and we'll cuddle.
But,
I think you put on headphones. I was going to say,
there's a couple
she's dozing
missing
off,
things. Yeah.
I wonder about headphones.
The detail of losing it when the horn is blown just really makes me laugh.
Because I feel like
King Theoden, the horn of Helm Hammerhand will sound in the deep one last time.
I'm glad you said that you're not a psychopath, because at one point I was like, this person is a copypasta. This is not a real story.
But I feel like the details, though, of she lost it when when the horn was blown, I'm like, all right, I actually believe this.
Yeah. Well, it's like the equivalent of like the fire alarm going off when you're right about to fall asleep. Like, there's a lot of like ambient noise, I feel like, in that scene. You know, there's a lot of like hammering of swords and like yelling, but that's all kind of like blending together. And then I feel like the sounds all cut out.
Yeah, but like, honestly, the rainfall and the, and the speaking in Elven, that would put me to bed.
Yeah, that would be nice.
It's the horn of the Helm Hammerhand.
I think
that'll really do it.
We often read between the lines, right? In this, and that's kind of a theme. And I'm going to read between the lines and say, is it possible that the reason that the headphones were not put in the ears was because the girlfriend was on them, and they would have had to like push the girlfriend off.
Oh, because
it could have been a courtesy thing. Because like I do that for my cats.
Yeah, because she seemed like she wanted some quality time.
They were actively cuddling. The purpose of bringing the movie to bed was to cuddle.
Right.
And are you gonna interrupt the cuddle to put in headphones?
Which I'm gonna say right now. Wow. Normalize staying up late by yourself and fast forwarding to the Siege of Helm's Deep. That was your first mistake.
Yeah. Get what you need.
Because you're pumped. You're pumped, right? And you wanted to stay pumped.
I want to stay up and play Super Smash Bros. And I was like, actually, you should do that in bed while I fall asleep. That would be a flawed premise.
Right. Although I guess then if when Ness is screaming PK fire, if you got mad at me, I think I would be... like, what did you expect?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what I was saying.
If you get home run batted in that game, it's the loudest fucking noise in the world. Just it's that true. Like, pew! Yeah, that's going to wake anyone up.
I feel like only you can know if your girlfriend is like good-natured razzing you versus like actually mad. If she's actually mad, I think that's excessive. But if she's good, if she's just turning this into like a fun couple story to share at Thanksgiving, I feel like, you know, let her have that.
I think you should have like continued watching the movie. I think you should have like finished the scene, much like Viggo did when he chipped his tooth during the filming of the Battle of Helm's Deep.
Did he really chip it though?
He chipped his tooth.
He chipped his tooth and broke
the toe. That's not very Aragorn of him at all.
Yeah. Okay, I think I actually am really feeling everyone in this question. So I think I'm looking to join your family.
This seems like just some good old fashioned fun. We're gonna have to.
It's good old fashioned fun, but I have the perfect punishment, so I'm gonna vote for punishing it.
Okay. Okay.
I'm going to say, I mean, I think that you're correct in that you got the okay to watch the Battle of Helm's Deep in bed.
You got the invitation. It wasn't an okay. You didn't ask. Yeah. You were invited.
But I feel like the question is like, should her family razz me for this? And I do think you should get razzed.
They were very straight up about what was going on. They were like, I'm going to stay up and watch something. If you had said... I'm going to stay up and watch the Battle of Helm's Deep.
They're going to be clanging and banging. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Maybe
do that.
How about this? I've got a punishment that's also a gift.
Okay.
Which is that it's the holiday season.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I think that the girlfriend here.
The Hogladays.
The Hogladays. It's the Hogladays. I'll never let that die. Caldwell's gift that keeps on giving is the invention of the phrase Hogladay.
May all of your days be prickly and bright. I think that your girlfriend should get you a working replica of the Hammerhelm horn of Helm's Deep. And she should award it to you one morning, unbeknownst to you, by waking you up by blowing it right in your face.
You know what? I love it.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Everyone
wins.
Everyone wins.
Everyone's taking some responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also, we're all going to dissolve our marriages and marry your single aunts and uncles.
Yeah, because we want to be part of this
family. I'm already there, bud. Don't worry about that.
Jake is going to join your family.
Yeah. I'm going to branch out into polyamory and stay married to Suze, but also marry into your family.
Great.
Great.
Yeah, you're going to have a bunch of yunkles and yaunts.
Whoa, how did we discover yunkle and not discover how pleasing it is to say yaunt?
Yunkles and yaunts.
Ladies and gentlemen, watch out. We got a couple of yonkles and yonks on the prowl.
God, just picture a yacht full of yonts.
Whoa.
This yacht yacht would have like, we would be like, we'd be blasting the Foo Fighters.
All the just yonts ever just long? Thirsty for Grohl. If it. This yonts are rocking, don't come, do come a knocking.
Yeah.
Come is underlined.
Okay. Oh my God. So yordered.
So yordered.
Next case comes from Max P. And Max writes, to the wise bailiff, and Pawpaw's legal counsel, I present the case of persuasion versus intimidation. I was DMing a scene with one of the party's favorite NPCs. Their goal was to tease information out of him that he was reluctant to give over. Everyone was having a good time finding tactics and making different checks to win the NPC over. Things shifted when one of the players made a direct threat at the NPC and asked to roll intimidation because they had a really high bonus to it. I told them they could and it'd work if they passed, but it would have a really bad impact on the party's friendship with this NPC. Mm. They countered, saying that their close bond should be able to sustain one intimidation roll. I asked the court, should making a direct threat at an NPC ruin their relationship with them, or is my player right in saying their friendship could last?
Come on. No, no, you should do this. You should help us raid this fortress. You should do it. I'll fucking kill you if you don't do it.
If any of my friends ever physically threatened me that they were going to beat me up,
I would argue that the one threat, the one threat is it's over. Well, sorry.
I feel like if I'm surrounded by my friends and they're all persuading me to do something and then someone like says they're going to kill me, I'm going to treat that as a joke until a knife is pulled. So like this had to have been a very serious threat for it to like register as a threat.
Yeah. I think that like, look, if they really are invested in repairing this NPC relationship, they can, but they're going to have to grovel for it.
Yeah.
They're going to have to work. Maybe if they crit on a persuasion check to forgive them, then maybe you can do that, but I think you're going to have to put in some work, rebuild some trust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in D&D, I'd just as soon part ways.
Yeah. It sounds like they didn't even go through with it. It sounds like the DM successfully talked them out of it, but the DM saying, this player's giving me shit.
Okay.
Was I right? And I think you were.
I think you were right, yeah.
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 I understand where this player is coming from, though, to give the necessary generous read, which is that, like, everyone's got their cool stuff they can do. And this person's, like, very good at intimidation and, like, wanted to try it out. They wanted to, like, kind of get in on the fun, as it were. But the fact that they're, like, still sore about it is, that's really what kind of rubs me.
Yeah. I think it actively makes me laugh to think of physically intimidating someone not affect your friendship, so that's just like so obvious,
especially when it's already like friendly and everything. It's like everyone's playing volleyball or something. Did you just stab the ball with a knife and go enough?
It's another thing to ruin the mood. Like it's one thing if it's like, okay, my character has to persuade this person, but it's like, okay, I'm gonna get in on it. Everyone is having a good time. Everyone's being lighthearted. Well, I'll threaten the guy. Why not?
You know what though? The fun thing would be though, you could just make it that it only fucks up the NPC relationship with that one player.
Yeah, that's true.
That's so funny.
Just doesn't trust those really one guy.
Fun.
Yeah.
That's a fun relationship to repair for sure. For sessions down the line, I love that.
The NPC is like always cornering other people and being like, Chad kind of sucks, right?
Are you friends with that guy? He's a psycho.
He's psychotic.
He's slamming to the ground.
Yeah.
Put his hand on my throat.
Did you guys think it was kind of weird when he threatened me?
That was nuts.
He said my full address.
Yeah. No, this is weird. It's also, I hate when people are like, weirdly, like min-maxing combat doesn't really bother me because it's already like, I don't know. At that point, when you're in a fight, it's like, you're basically just like breaking out the battle mat. It's like Warhammer time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But min-maxing a social interaction.
Like a social interaction is just annoying to me. It's like, you don't, somebody high in deception shouldn't like lie to a character that they want to have a genuine relationship with just because their deception is good.
I think it makes sense to be like in a social interaction, oh, let's send this guy. His persuasion is the best, yeah, right? Because that's what you would do in real life. Yeah. Oh, the three of us are here. Yoni's the most charismatic. Let's send him forward. You know, he's going to be able to smooth the situation. But being like, you know what? Actually, I'll just like completely abandon this social encounter to
you did the right thing, which is just lay out the situation, just be like, hey, just so you know, if you do this, there's gonna be a shift.
They did say, I will allow this to work, but it's gonna affect things moving forward. You gave your player a choice, which I feel like on this court we've tried DMs that don't do that.
You've
done well.
There is a world where somebody's like, I tried it intimidation because I have better intimidation, and then the NPC ran away or something like that. And
and they never talked to us
you'd
again.
Be right. I still think you'd be right in that situation, but I could see why the player would be like, ah, fuck, I fucked up. Mm-hmm. I was just trying to use my better ability.
So we should sentence the player then. Yeah. Sounds like we're all agreed. I would say, gonna like throw out an idea here. They have to sleep for a week with the Lord of the Rings director's cuts blaring in the background.
Oh,
that's good.
Or like Lord of the Rings, all the fight scenes.
Simultaneously?
Yeah.
Okay, so like three TVs.
Three TVs.
Go ahead and throw...
Viggo Mortensen has to call you up and threaten you. not the DM, the player. The player's got
to
be threatened by Viggo.
And he has to take the cap out of his chipped tooth so he whistles a little bit when he's doing it.
You see what I got this? Got this at the Battle of Helm's Deep.
Yeah. He's going to threaten you by saying he's going to almost drown you like he did during the scene where Aragorn floats unconscious in the river. He was pulled underwater by the weight of his costume.
Oh my God. Yeah. This movie was so dangerous for this man to make.
What?
Yeah.
Viggo went through it.
Viggo fucking went through it, y'all. We knew. We
no wonder
the tip.
He retired after Lord of the Rings.
He retired. He never acted again. Went out on top.
Well, he was so busy personally calling people to threaten their lives.
Yeah, he just does cameo, but for threats now.
Cameo, but for threats?
Whoa, Emily.
That's threat great. Cameo that's is a great idea. Yeah.
It's a good idea for an app.
Just get yelled at by a celebrity. I would like Liam Neeson to threaten to kill me. Say it's a special set of skills.
I feel like he's gonna be like kind of the flagship member of this platform, but then like there's other people that I think could like really do a good threat
for sure. Okay, so we have a new business idea and you have a punishment.
We could also punish this person to start this business for us, do all the unfun part of starting this business, and then hand it over
Get
to us.
Fully stopped by the government from doing this very illegal thing.
So set up the partnership agreement, the tax loopholes, register the business, trademark the name, and then also do the celebrity outreach, because we're going to want to launch with some celebrities.
We're going to need you to call Willem Dafoe for us.
You're going to need to get some laws changed, too, because I think we probably can't have celebrities called cold calling people. That makes
Look, that's for this player to figure out, not us.
Yeah. There's probably some states where it's different. You look into it, all right? You're in business with us.
Leah, let us know what you find out.
Congrats, kid. Okay. Rachel K. writes, may it please the powerful and auspicious judges and the scrounging bailiff. Wow.
How it's dare like you talk to our friend like that? How dare you talk to my friend like
that? Is scrap scrounging a bad thing? Because I do a lot of thrift shopping and it sounds like a similar
I take
energy.
It as just like you're scrappy, like you're inventive.
I think it's more so like you are like a lowly servant of the king, and like when he like tosses a bone from his sumptuous meal out, you like go to the
you
ground
just, like,
and you, like, suck
bone.
On the bone. Yeah,
because sometimes I go to see like a chair I like on Craigslist and it's like really gross in person, and then I scrap it.
You scrap it.
And I get out of there.
Yeah. So you scrounge, then you scrap.
You scrap and get out.
You're scrounge scrapping, not scrap scrounging is the thing.
I like Murph's interpretation the best. Uh-huh. Murph wins that round.
I win this round.
I'll give you all of my bones, dude.
Caldwell wins this round. I bring to you the case of the homebrew car. My cousin has been playing in a campaign I've DM'd on and off for several years with my other cousins. And during the entire campaign, he's pestered me to implement a magical Toyota FJ modeled after his IRL FJ in the campaign.
I'm really, really sorry, but I kind of like this person. Against better judgment, I understand I'm wrong.
Uh-huh.
It's cute to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Toyota FJs are sick cars. He wants the car to do things like climb walls, attack enemies unprompted.
Okay, I'm off.
Travel
I'm
at speeds.
Yeah. Far, yeah,
you knew this was coming.
I
travel at speeds far greater than the normal speed of creatures and be able to cast its own spells. I've explained to him several times that I can't just give him an overpowered FJ. But he always counters with the idea that I can just homebrew any monster to be just as overpowered as his Toyota. How do I reconcile?
Rebalance the game for my fucking mechanical familiar.
Just make the monsters harder.
How do I reconcile his wants with my desire to keep my campaign feeling balanced? I await your fair and just judgments.
Okay, this person, okay. I liked it at first because I thought it was a little cute that someone had a connection with their car and wanted it like a little familiar, and then I was immediately out.
Right. Here's where it falls apart for me. The FJ is too cool a car, I think.
Okay.
The FJ, it looks kind of like a Range Rover.
I looked at a picture of it.
Okay,
it's a,
sure.
It's a pretty fun car, in my opinion. Yeah. But I think that this is a wild ask. And I feel like, Mark, what do you think as a DM if people just said, hey, just make your monsters harder. Make us more powerful, but make your monsters harder.
Yeah.
How does that feel as a DM?
I would push back and I would say, you maniac, you have this car in real life. Why do you need it
here?
In the fucking pretend world? This isn't fun for anyone. You think it's funny to argue you don't actually want this.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
And I would
I
keep
think that's a really good
really
assessment.
Going with that. And then I'd say, okay, you want your car? You want me to rebalance stuff? You want me to rebalance stuff? Great.
Then you kill his car.
And then I kill his car.
There you go.
Whoa. You can't kill a Toyota.
Yeah.
You can't kill a Toyota. I'm telling you.
They're very easy to repair.
A Super Tarrasque? A Super Tarrasque can kill a Toyota.
No. Not my Tacoma. I don't think so.
You think you could kill my RAV4, dude?
Nothing's got to that, baby.
Good fucking luck. Here's my solution here, which is like maybe you make him work for it. Like the car, you do Digimon rules. The car has to evolve. You start off with like a really shitty car. Yeah, like you can start off with a Corolla, and if you like give that Corolla love and affection and care, it'll level up into maybe a RAV4. And then once you got the RAV4, then you level up again.
Well, here's the thing is that giving him a unleveled up Toyota. We're just entertaining ideas here.
What is it? Just giving give it like Drake Warden stats or whatever.
Yeah, giving him like this Toyota that isn't leveled up will test if he actually wants the car or if he just likes to argue like Murph posited, which I do think is plausible.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
what's like giving a kid a goldfish so that you can test if they're ready for a dog?
Yeah.
You got to do it like that.
There are vehicles in D&D. Like we had a...
Yeah, there's Camrys. Yeah.
A mine car. I feel like you might be able to meet in the middle and just like give him some kind of like... steampunk cool car.
If you're like Eberron or something, there might be some kind of cart or something.
Did the author who wrote the question say what class this person was playing?
I mean, they want their car to do everything.
But that's what I'm saying. I would hold them to like, I would be like, you need to be a certain class that it makes sense to have like an overpowered familiar.
But
if you're
driving around,
if you're like a speed racer, like custom homebrew, and like your car has all the abilities and you're just a normal commoner, now we're on to something here.
Emily's solution would solve everything because as soon as you were like, okay, we'll make the FJ work, you have to do this, 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 and this, the cousin would just be like, oh, never mind.
I feel like it's the addition of, and they want the car to be able to cast spells that really does make me think they're fucking
they
with
just
you.
Want
that
to
they
be
just
the, want to
argue.
They want to be the car, but also they just want to argue with you.
Maybe they do want to be the car. Maybe you could bring that up with them and be like, what if you are the car? Let's be a war forge.
The problem
That's
is
fucking
not.
Sick.
The problem is that there's no Toyotas in the
so
world.
Don't only have to be a Beastmaster Ranger, but a Toyota Master Ranger.
You want to be an actual Transformer?
That's what I am in real life.
I think you just look at your cousin and you say, you really want this? And you look really sad and you say, you got it. And just sound really sad.
Oh,
This is what you want. This is what you want from D&D. You want to just be a magic card.
You genuinely think that this is going to make the game more fun for everyone at the table?
Me to rebalance the
And you
whole
have
thing.
A tear coming down your eye as you say it.
And you just close the Wheel of Time books that you were going through for inspiration.
And you open up Initial D.
Yeah.
Murph, I think you have the solution. You know, all joking aside, I think you have the solution, which is like you gotta shove a Sephiroth sword through that car.
Yeah. Just kill their car.
Kill the car.
That or it'd be really funny if you gave them the car, but then made a villain so powerful that it killed literally every other party member, and then it was just them and their overpowered car left standing at the end.
Or introduce a villain who is a car hunter, a witcher specifically for cars, I think is what you need here.
I love that.
Yeah.
Could you do something kind of like, almost like what we did in like Ezri, like the fighting rings or something, where like, almost like a one shot, just like, one battle where your players are given mounts,
like a destruction derby type deal.
Yeah, a demolition derby, and just one session, your cousin gets to live their dream.
Okay.
The problem is as a car.
Yeah.
Then he'll just spend the entire time trying to steal
it. The player's just trolling.
Yeah.
This isn't it's not a real ask.
Okay, so we've really tried to expand our minds to consider the proposition, but I think we're all ruling against the Toyota owner.
Yes.
We side with you.
Sadly. And yes, I do think that all of the other players at the table get to destroy your car.
Yeah,
you do think that you do get Street your Fighter car. Style.
Yeah, you get to beat up their car like
that,
you're freaking Guile.
That's a little bit of a punishment for everyone else at the table because they're gonna have to use their fists.
Yeah,
I heard it's really bad to top off your car when you're filling it with gas. So this person just has to always do the top off.
Always do the top off.
But maybe that's dangerous. Yeah, I don't know if it's bad or dangerous.
I don't know. Maybe I was going to say they could put like diesel gas in their car if it's not diesel, but I think that might actually be dangerous.
Ooh, fill it with mayo.
I was going to say, I feel like the Street Fighter thing was fine, but now I'm thinking mayo. They have to fill their Toyota with mayo,
Hey, I can give you a ride to D&D. Full disclosure, my FJ is full of mayo, so I don't know how well it's going to drive over there.
How sick would it be if this punishment led us to discover another fuel source?
Yeah.
Oh my
like,
God.
What if this FJ just runs fucking butter smooth on mayonnaise?
Yeah. I'm a mayo stan. I could see it happening.
12 gallons.
Dude, I
run on
love
mayo.
Yeah.
You're a Hellman
scout. I like it too.
I run on mayo
Not
too.
Not in cars necessarily, but what kind of sandwich? Yeah.
Emily does carry mayo on the tour with us all the time.
Yeah, like those little things that that runners have. The little runners goo, but with mayo.
Yeah, you get stopped at the airport all the time because you've just got a
too much mayo
of almonds in there.
I don't know, a teaspoon of mayo in your gas tank at the end to top it off. It seems like
it could only help. Yeah.
It could only help.
I think
lubricating those joints. Yeah.
We should treat our cars nicer, is what I'll say.
Feed your car mayo.
Feed your car mayo.
Just a tablespoon.
Okay,
just
so
a tablespoon.
You ordered. Rob writes in, "Dear Honorable Justices and the equally but differently Honorable Bailiff."
Okay.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's really true.
And that's why we love him.
Yeah.
Thanks. I present to you the case of the Oblivious Watchman. I was recently invited to join a campaign with coworkers DM'd by the office receptionist. She warned us that her campaign style was brutal and unforgiving, and I was excited by the prospect of difficult fights. I created a variant human fighter who had been the night watchman of his village before being called to adventure. To complement this background, I chose the skill expert from Tasha's and gained expertise in perception. During our first session, I was leading our party on a mountain trail in search of orcs when I was asked to make an investigation check. Not knowing the reason, I rolled and got a 7. Our DM announced that I had failed to spot a hole in the trail and I fell 200 feet into a cave and died instantly. I argued that with my perception expertise, I would have noticed such a large hole and that investigation had to do with noticing dangers in the terrain. She replied that since I had already rolled, it was too late to change the skill needed for the check. Was I justified in protesting my new character's death, or was I an acceptable casualty of a brutal and unforgiving campaign?
I love that this DM is just like, you know what? There's fucking holes everywhere that just lead to your fucking death.
I'm going to drop one of these motherfuckers.
Some people make monsters, other people make holes.
That's not even a 200-foot hole is not a hole. That's a that's like a cliff.
Yeah.
Do you not notice a cliff?
That's crazy. I love this crazy energy.
Yeah, I have to imagine that the hole was like covered with leaves.
Yeah.
Or some sort of like thin
sticks.
Could have
been a trap. Could have been a trap on purpose.
I
love the idea that it was just a random sinkhole.
Yeah, just a fucking sinkhole, yeah.
Of inviting someone to your campaign, warning them that it's brutal, but then killing them the first night.
So if this were described a little differently, uh-huh. She could have gotten away with murdering her player with a hole. But I think as is,
like,
I think
I'm
you were wrong.
I'm also picturing it really skinny, but really deep.
And just like a manhole.
Yeah.
Like a manhole that goes 200 feet down.
Yeah, you never put your arms out to slow yourself at all. Yeah.
It's just the perfect circumference of a person.
You just fall forever.
Is 200 max damage? Like, isn't there an amount of falling that you hit
the
max?
I think they've changed it so that it can be more, but originally it was 20d6. Yeah.
Mm. So to me, I also like the idea that she just off the top of her head was like, it's max damage.
So
they just like fail a check and it's like, okay, you fall into a hole. I feel like making it max damage.
Let me roll something here. Yeah, you hit magma. Yeah, you just fall all the way until you hit magma and you dissolve.
So the difference between perception and investigation, based on just kind of what we use it for and also just what I'm finding online right now, is that perception is like the things that you see and that you notice, and investigation is kind of like what you gather from that. So they could have got so.
Oh, I really like that definition, right? It's almost like the digestion of the sensory input.
Exactly. So perception for this should have definitely worked, especially if you have like, you're a watchman, if you have expertise in this, then you should be awesome at this.
Unless there was like a branch covering the,
so if
it's
it
a
were
really small hole. It's super tiny.
So if
it's
it were small. A trap, really little. If it were a trap.
So only a small branch would do it.
It's such a skinny hole.
You had to pencil dive to go in.
It's skinny all the way down.
You really had to try to fall all the way down there. I think if this were a trap, she could have gotten away with it. Because it could have been like, oh, the people on this mountain before you that don't want you to find them set up some trap where if you walk up to this, there's a false floor and you fall through it. Uh-huh. And then with a perception check, you see that there's some like leaves and snow over this one area, and an investigation would tell you that it looks like a trap.
Yeah,
so if you fail your investigation, you still walk on it and you fall through. But since this was just a regular ass hole that they missed... and fell through.
I think you've been, say if it's your first session with a group and you have a trap that is an insta-kill, because this, let's say this was a trap.
Right.
If it is a trap, it's an insta-kill. I think you gotta make the investigation check not that hard if you're going to die if you don't see it.
To me, it feels like you would notice at least something. You would notice like, whether it's a hole or like it's been covered up, like with a perception check, you would at least notice that something was off, and then the investigation would let you know it was specifically a trap.
It's always more fun to set it up for the player so it's like you see a clearing or something like that, and then the players can decide like if that's suspicious or if it's not, or they could do investigation checks or whatever.
I do want to say I would absolutely play at this girl's table though.
It does sound
fun. She sounds like a wild card and I like that.
I mean, I guess the DM did specify that this was going to be brutal. I feel like just going knowing like you got to have a backup character ready to go. I'm on board with that.
I personally would say I'm going to rule against her since it wasn't a trap. That perception could have done it, but I would also play at her crazy table.
Yeah. I don't think I need to give the ruling that you need new friends. I think this seems fun, but also you were wrong. You were wronged.
You were wrong.
You were wronged.
In front of your coworkers.
Yeah.
I mean, so the social dynamic at this table is really funny.
Maybe we sentence this girl to run a really deathly one shot for us.
Ooh. I like that.
I'm so curious too about this dynamic too. Like, was the boss there? It'd be really fun for the receptionist just to be like,
I absolutely murder. You fall down a hole.
Yeah.
Yeah. Four goblins who are very disgruntled come up and they stab you repeatedly.
Yeah. You know what? We're going to have to throw her FJ down a very small hole.
Ooh. Okay. Ooh.
We're going to give her an FJ.
Yes.
Number one.
Yeah.
Yes.
An FJ that can't climb walls like other FJs.
This yeah. FJ. Okay. So we say yeah. we do like the full Toyota commercial. We right. do like Beau on the FJ.
Great.
On Christmas. And it's driving towards her. Yeah. And then before it gets to her, it falls down a hole.
This Christmas, unwrap the joy of a new Toyota FJ.
No.
The Beau hovers in the air for a second.
Yeah. It catches on the side for a little bit and it looks like the car might make it. And then it rips from the Beau and plummets 200 feet.
The commercial just ends with her screaming, "Who dug this hole? Who dug this hole?
How is there a hole there?"
You should have investigated.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content all in one place and all on your terms, folks. They've got beautiful templates and easy drag and drop tools. You can make a portfolio, you can make a blog, you can make a web series over there. You can do anything you want and you can do it all on Squarespace. So head on over to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first order of a website or domain. That is squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% on your first purchase of a website or domain. squarespace.com/pawpaw. Thank you, everybody.
Howdy, Nadpoles. Caldwell here. I'm recording this ad literally hours before going to the airport on a trip to visit some family in New York. And if you're wondering, no, I have not packed my bags yet. Packing stresses me the hell out because I have to do wardrobe math about how many shirts and pants and underwear to bring. And let me tell you, folks, I always get it wrong and I always pack too much. That being said, there is one thing that always goes into my suitcase without a second thought, and that is my Raycon Everyday Earbuds. Raycon offers amazing audio quality at half the price of other premium audio brands. And Raycon's optimized gel tips are designed to fit comfortably in your ears and actually stay there, which is good because it means I can go on a jog and not worry about them falling out and getting sucked into a sewer grate. Although I guess that's probably how the Ninja Turtles get their earbuds, so if some mutant creature living in the sewer happens to get them, I guess that wouldn't be too bad. But thanks to Raycon, it's not something I ever even need to concern myself with. So if you're also going on a trip soon and are looking to bring along the perfect pair of earbuds, go to buyraycon.com/pawpaw today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That is right, you're going to get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pawpaw. One more time, that's buyraycon.com/pawpaw. All right, thanks for listening and have a great trip. Bye-bye.
So yordered.
So yordered.
Okay, our next case comes from Alexander K. And they write, "May it please Jake, the god of bailiffs." Whoa.
Wow.
And the other people.
Hey, that's my friend.
Not yours, Alexander.
Back off.
Whoa. All right, starting off on the wrong foot.
You don't have a wrong foot, Jake.
Wow.
As someone
actually, his feet do get hurt sometimes, Caldwell. Maybe you should consider him every once in a while. God.
Well, maybe if you'd let me wrap them properly, then Jake, they wouldn't get hurt.
Jake, do you want this acai bowl?
Emily wins.
Emily.
She knows the key to my heart.
No fair. She Uber-eated that while we were recording.
All right. I request your judgment in the case of the Dicey Diet. Our group doesn't get to play too often, so we make a meal out of the occasion when we do.
Yum.
We take turns to buy takeout for our sessions. It was my turn to provide food for the session, and I had everyone in our group chat send me dice rolls for a surprise that you'll see later.
Okay.
Normally, the person buying the food would show up and everyone would decide what to eat. Then whoever was paying would either get it delivered or go pick up the food. This time, I arrived to the session with the food already in hand. I'd gone to a Chinese takeout place and ordered everyone the meal whose menu number corresponded with the dice roll they had sent me. The menu had 26 dishes, and I had them roll D20, so it wasn't a perfect system, but I thought it would be fun.
It was perfect. It was perfect. It was perfect.
Your heart's in the right place, but this is so bad and flawed.
It is flawless. I did also get a broad selection of side dishes for people to pick and choose as well.
Sure.
At first, people seemed to find the idea kind of amusing, but it ended with most people swapping their meal for someone else's, and one meal didn't get eaten at all, with one player who allegedly rolled a nat 20 on their menu item, complaining that no nat 20 should punish me with a meal this mild.
Yeah, I'm picturing this menu has like silverware listed as option 20.
I thought it was a fun surprise idea, but I do feel bad that some people enjoyed their food less because I left their meal up to dice Christ.
Your heart is so in the right place, and I'm just going to keep saying that your heart
was. I don't think it is.
You were thinking imaginatively, creatively. You were trying.
Get back in your cave,
you were
troll.
To do
get back in the cave,
fun
troll.
And unique, and it was just the wrong idea.
Into your hole, troll.
Was I wrong to try and spice up mealtime with some RNG? Yes. Or was it not that big of a deal? But ultimately, I'm still providing free food for everyone.
It was a big deal, unfortunately.
It's not free food. You guys rotate, and this was your turn.
That's a really good point. How many free good meals have you had?
If this was a true surprise and it was just when everybody showed up, you told them to send rolls and then you brought them food, that's one thing. But this is a specific thing and they just didn't get to eat their food because you got weird food.
But
that's tough.
But they did get extra sides though. So I feel like everyone at the table is being a little prissy by not honoring Dice Christ's suggestions for what they should eat that night.
I got you rice. I mean, come on.
Everyone got rice. Everyone got egg rolls. And then you have something a little fun. I think that sometimes food can be an adventure, and sometimes you just have a bad thing and you deal with it. And I think this person did nothing wrong.
Interesting take.
I'm
going to order for you the next time we get food.
Especially you are definitely the most particular about your food.
Am I?
Yeah, you always have like very specific things that you and Suze have very strong opinions about food.
Certainly I have strong opinions about food, but they are wide ranging. I like all foods. I like the idea of somebody ordering for me. I will come to regret this, but I'm going to side with them.
Okay. Especially with like D&D sessions, it's usually pretty long. The food is part of the experience often.
A little cheat sheet for jokes is for like pranks is always after the initial laugh. If the person is left saying, and then what? It's usually not a great idea. It's
just, like, you could do this, but then you'd also have to be like, I don't know. You'd have to like.
It's just like, you got me bad food. That was very funny. And now I'm hungry.
And now is there more food?
And now what?
Yeah. Jake's onto something, though. I do feel like the backup here is that you do just like have like a pizza delivered like 10 minutes later.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, that would have been a good, like, because like I said, your heart was in the right place. maybe when you saw the fallout, you could quickly just order a pizza.
Yeah, you got to back down immediately.
I think the way you messed up is that like you made this like a full surprise. Because I feel like if you like bring this up and everyone's on board, then like I think it's really you have like a fun moment where like let's all roll the dice and see what we get, and then people can opt out if they want. But like I feel like if we're all rolling the dice and then like living by the sword when it comes to eating our like random ass meal,
I would opt out so fast.
There's also they weren't there. They didn't see the numbers on the menu or anything like that. They weren't part of the gambling. That was all a surprise. So their side of the prank is just getting shitty food.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're going right.
If everyone opted in, it could be funny.
Uh-huh.
I'm going through like all my friends in my head and picturing just like choosing their meal for them. And I can't picture a single person who would just roll with it.
I think I would laugh and would say, and now what? I would say, very funny. All right. What do I do now?
I'm allergic to shrimp.
Yeah.
Do I have to eat this?
I think I would be a lot more upset if I like came to the house hungry.
That's what I'm saying. I'm
like, yeah.
Okay. There's like, you know, there's not much that can satisfy my hunger except for this exact food that I'm craving.
Yeah.
And then somebody hands me something different and a side.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't good.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough.
I mean, like, yeah, this could go so bad.
I'm cranking you just, hungry people.
You just ordered 4 sides of rice.
What if those were the sides?
You could have like gone through your order history and been like, we've been to this Chinese food place before. This is what everybody's got. I'll get all that stuff and some of the numbers.
Okay.
So
that
you can do the prank and then like
the prank,
a usual.
It's just not worth it. It's just not worth it. It's expensive.
But the thing is, it's not really a prank. I feel like it's more of like, this is a fun, silly thing. Are we all into it?
Yeah.
But like,
I'm like just imagining doing this for like a group that Merv and I used to play with and just like the weak, weak, polite smiles.
That would, yeah.
Would happen.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. I think when it's like quickly remedied, something like this is funny. Uh-huh. Like if you're at the bar and you just like get me a beer and you just go get them a weird drink and sit back down. That's funny.
Yeah, that's funny. That, yeah.
You can either,
because you're not
if they're
hungry
upset,
for
you
a
can
beer.
Either, you can either go back up and get them a different drink or they can go get themselves. There's a million ways to remedy that. But you bought so
prank
much
your,
food.
Prank your friends with weird drinks, not meals.
And guys, I did, somebody rolled the boiled goose entree and that was an extra $40. So. sending out a Venmo for that.
You went above and beyond. I got the boiled goose.
But also, it's funny that
someone rolled a nat 20 and then they said this isn't what a nat 20 would be. I kind of agree with them there. Even within the context of, so like, let's say that the idea wasn't flawed. It is, but let's say it wasn't. The nat 20 should have at least gotten them 2 meals.
Yeah.
But they don't even want the one. One of the meals didn't
get. The nat 20 should have gotten them the choice.
You should have gotten them the dessert.
You should have side texted them and been like, this is what I'm doing. So you got a nat 20. You can actually
order. They
would
have been like, wait, you're doing that for everyone?
Nat 20, you get to pick with advantage. we've already made our decision here, clearly, but like one last generous read.
Yeah.
There's very few bad things on a Chinese food restaurant. Menu.
Yeah, I think it was definitely the
but there's
it was
so
definitely
many
the
good
type
things
of food
that you'll be in the mood for. And
exactly,
want.
Exactly. Imagine like sitting there and someone else gets like orange chicken.
Yeah,
or the person who got the nat 20 said their food was mild.
Nat 20 should just automatically be
actually,
orange
you know,
chicken,
guys. I pulled up a Chinese food menu.
Okay,
let's play right
Should
now.
We do it right now? Okay,
everybody has to roll a D100.
Let's see here. Okay. D100. I got an 82.
75.
Okay. Caldwell, you got a 75.
Yeah.
Murph got an 82.
58.
You got a 58?
Uh-huh.
Emily, you are getting the Kung Pao beef. Congratulations.
Okay. I'd be happy with it.
With a 33, I'm getting the jumbo shrimp fried rice.
Delicious.
Not bad.
That sounds
good.
Yeah.
That sounds okay. I would need more food.
I think someone else showing up. If I got like the jumbo shrimp fried rice when someone else has Kung Pao, I would be pretty jealous.
What sort of insane person is not sharing their Chinese food when they get it from a restaurant?
Like, the type of person that just brings based on a dice roll.
Okay, let's continue.
Murph, what did you get?
I got, what did I say, 82?
You have the roast pork with mushrooms,
I'm upset.
Yeah, Murph does not like mushrooms.
And Caldwell, what do you have?
Well, I'm having a little bit of Murph's mushrooms and pork, obviously, because that sounds delicious, but I got a 75.
A 75, and it all works out for Caldwell with the, maybe chicken and pepper and tomato.
Okay.
Oh, that actually... Oh, of not, all the things on the menu.
Yeah, these things are just, you're not getting the best stuff. It's just random.
And also, you have to keep in mind that on Chinese menus, a lot of times they do like the sort of like healthy options are mixed in there.
Yeah.
It's also
that
not
are basically sauceless.
This is just gambling without telling anyone that they're gambling. It's not a prank.
Yeah, I gamble in D&D. I don't gamble on my meals.
Just like, did you just watch that football game? Just so you know, I put down $10 of your money on it. Okay.
Okay. Sorry to say you lost, buddy.
Yeah, you lost.
Okay, so we have to sentence this person who I will keep saying, I think your heart's in the right place.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're being a troll. They're being a troll.
They don't ever get to order their food ever again.
It's a fun idea, but it was flawed, and you shouldn't have gone forward.
I think you can't fuck with people's hunger.
I'm thinking about that tomato now, though. Like, how does that even work into a Chinese food dish?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you really did get a really bad one. It sounds like it was probably on, like, the diet menu.
Yeah, I fucking ate my words.
And I'm sure there's, you know, there's good versions of it or whatever, but it's not what I'm looking for.
No.
For takeout. Yeah, how do we punish this person?
I think, all right. So all of their friends need to like speak to the head chef anytime they go to a restaurant. Okay. Be like, hey, our friend pulled a weird prank on us. And you just need to serve them like your worst dish.
Yeah. You need to roll a D6 to see how many sessions going forward that you have to roll randomly for your own food.
That's
good. What did you eat when you pulled this fucking prank?
Did you hold yourself to the same gamble?
Did you roll or did you say, you know what, maybe I'll get the General Tso's after all?
Yeah.
This is anything with food or anything that takes time or something. Like if we're all going to the movies and I said, hey guys, I actually got us tickets to this movie that we didn't want to see. There's a moment of laughing. There's a moment of laughing.
Right.
And then what? Okay. And now what? Now we have to go see this bad movie?
We don't really have to see that, right?
I'd rather see the other movie, though.
That was the plan.
Yeah.
God bless your heart, though.
Bless your little troll heart.
Yeah, go check out Don't Worry, Darling in theaters.
Sweet.
Okay. So you ordered. Shall we put on our robes for a Dice Christ
confession?
Put
on the different robes, yeah.
Yes,
yeah, please.
Yeah.
Okay, Diggy Door Dugler writes, I come to the church with a troubled soul.
Oh.
Ah.
I love when they use this kind of language. Yeah. My heart weighs heavy with my deeds.
I met up with some people and we set up a new D&D group. About a month ago, my character had a very important persuasion check and I rolled a 2 on the die.
Yikes.
I dropped my hand on the table in defeat, and my friend next to me said, oh my God, he got a 20. I looked down and saw that when my hand hit the table, it rocked the die over to a 20. I went with the 20, but I've been conflicted. Was it the dice devil whispering evil in my ear to lie? Or did Dice Christ move the die? I humbly await your judgment.
Oh my God, that's a really good question. Was it temptation or was it? I think it was,
this was
temptation
the dice
too, right?
Sometimes the dice devil appears in a guise that you would find friendly and inviting.
Like
they are the devil
nonetheless.
Like a nat 20.
I think it was the hand of Dice Christ herself.
Really?
Moving the die.
I think because this was like the first session, right?
They don't say. We started a new group about a month ago. My character had a very important person.
Okay, but it's a new group. It's a new group.
It's a new group.
And this is when you are the weakest to the dice devil.
Right.
This is when.
This is when you can really fall. Because you were just going with the momentum. You were just going with the cool kids. The cool kids were really excited about the nat 20.
It's hard to recall a nat 20. That is a painful thing to do.
I know.
Yeah. It's hard when you're around a bunch of new people to be like, wait, Dice Christ. Wait.
The reason I also think though that it was not Dice Christ is because the 2 is right next to the 20, right? It was too easy. It wasn't like a magical thing like, oh, it went from a 7 to a 20. It's like it bopped over just one.
Yeah.
I think that there is a way out for you. There is penance here. And what you need to do is you need to get a post-it note, write a big 2 on it, and hand it to your DM, admit what you did, and say, whenever you think I deserve this 2, you can give it to me.
I like the unnecessary inclusion of a post-it note.
Props hit harder, folks.
I don't know. I don't know that you have. I feel like you've served your penitence. Like, you know what was wrong.
Yeah,
you
I don't
know that.
I think you take you this got to your
seduced.
Grave.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You just tell us.
Take it to your
it's
grave.
Safe. It's safe with us.
Yeah, yeah, it's safe with us. You got I get seduced. That.
The social pressure of if it were like a newer group and people just like see something and start freaking out to hold your hand
exactly.
up and be like, wait.
Yeah, you don't want to kill that buzz.
Yeah, yeah. I get that. Yeah. But
oh, it's true.
Dice Christ does ask us to kill the buzz. Every once in a while. So you must learn and grow to be a buzz killer.
Murph, I think you're onto something, though. I think you just, like, take that dice. You never use it again. You're going to need to bury it under your floorboards.
Yeah. Buried under your floorboards.
Yeah, yeah. Buried under
and let it beat
sure.
in the night.
You'll for hear sure. that dice rolling every once in a while.
Yeah.
Get your house earthquake retrofitted and have them bury it yeah. under there.
I think Dice Christ now asks you to be an acolyte of Dice Christ, and you must be a buzzkill the next time there is momentum, but you have to put your hand up and be a rules lawyer.
Yeah. It's kind of like fun and edgy that you've been touched by the devil too.
That's true.
Yeah.
God. That's the trade-off though, is that like the devil is like much more prevalent. So like you're going to run into the devil more than you're going to run into Dice Christ.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So like you need to take advantage of that.
Yeah.
Hey guys, this is a church.
Can you imagine
getting uncomfortable being like, with this?
And go forth with Dice Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
And take this to your grave.
Take this to your grave.
We'll keep the secret as well.
We'll keep it. We won't release this episode.
This is our first time. This is our first time telling someone to just keep it a secret.
I like that.
No, I think we do. I think we say it sometimes.
Yeah. I mean,
I do try to look out for people in like social situations. Yeah, of, like, yeah. I don't want to give people advice where they go and just like confess to their new friend that they lied about their dice roll. Hey, I was playing with some of my coworkers. Turns out one of them's a freaking liar.
When you die, your grave will be filled in with all the dice you ever played with.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Gorgeous.
And with that, let's go ahead and wrap this one up. Thank you all so much for listening. You can head on over to our Patreon, patreon.com/nadpod. That's NADDPOD. Do not sing yet. Don't do it.
Hey, sorry about that.
To listen to some bonus cases. In the meantime, does anyone have anything they'd like to plug?
Hey, speaking of cases.
Oh, yeah.
We have a live dungeon court that we will be doing in Boston the day after our Boston NADPOD show.
Yeah. So,
go to one, go to both.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Preferably go to both.
Ideally go to both.
Ideally
we'd love
go
to see you twice.
Yeah.
NADPOD.com/live. That's in January.
Check it out. First ever live D&D court.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Sweet, guys. Thank you all so much for listening. You can follow us on social media that we may or may not use, at SageMurphsMe, at Caldus Caldwell, at AxFordsEmily, and at Jagertz is Jake. And you can tweet about the show using hashtag NADPOD. That's NADDPOD.
We are youth of the nation.
We are youth of the nation.
Great singing, Jake.
Ah, it's time to thank our benevolent council of elders, starting with Brad D., Jeffrey S., Hugh C., later McSkater, Matt M., Jordan D. J., Cutter W., Liv A., Daniel G., The J. Pod, Dylan the Silent, Fourth Crit Justice, who thinks the bailiff is a pretty cool guy. Thank you for that. Dungeon Mama, not sexual, Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Beardman Dan, Danny P., Vincent W., Mr. Cole, DMC Dog, Victor T., Balnor's Boy, Dominic Person, Justin I., Ragnar Fairdwind, TJM, Treleth, Crayfay, Christopher B, Damiel R, Cyborg version of Josh the Kobold, Leopold from Wisconsin, wishing everyone a happy hedgehog holidays, Richard X Machina, Michael L, Jack L, Sam L, Hemlock, Mike H, Matthew E, Great Value, Gemma, Adam G, Tyler F, Panama, James, Andrew the Bard, nope, sorry, just Andrew the Druid here, Haradian, Rex Daniel, The White, Captain Sigil, Diana, D-L-L, CC Lulu, Hercule Poirot, The Rabbit Folk Detective, Timmy R, Lucas B, Rayco, It's Kevin, Calder's Cold Cum, hashtag Rise My Cumrades, Spread the Cumroderie, Katie W, Taylor B, The Vengeful, One Winged Angel, Cass, Skateboard Cass, Captain of the Stevens, Stephen C, Michael M, Mike K, Lady Taco, Brian G, Joy T, Nara, Jake L, Nick W, Brave the Badger, Esme M, Agniti, who sang One Big Bed in Savannah, well, wasn't that lovely, Foster, the Boneless Duck, William W., Aaron, the Asshole Ranger, Big Bad, Beardo the Mad, Eric McD., Galad Roselle, the White Rose of Galateron, Power Sergio of Bohemia, Christian A., J. Dragonborn, Joe Rowe, the Inna Pro Po, the Sandrian, Ben A., Feldonis, John III, Dave H., Vivian, Koala Bear, Catherine S., David K., Christian S., Dustin S., Connor F., Hawkeye P., Bookvar's Assistant, Izzy F., Marky Mark, the Marvelous Mining Engineer, Kat C., Kelsey J., Misa of House in Zunza, Ariel, the Occasional Mermaid, Selena N., a.k.a. Valacy Raptor, Be Perky Always, Pat L., Achutha A., Lauren H., Ryan S., The Bone Duster, The Charming Fluff, Robert Crisp, Telekitty Creations, Fan Illustrator, thank you very much, Ploops, Carly A., Suicidal Lobster, Addy K., AP Cleric, Lori P., Spam Gaming, who's just a raccoon that has a gun, whoa, JC, Connor Savage, Christopher J. Pebblepot, to the Deriders, my first D&D party, may all our adventures be wondrous, thank you for being my friends, Salil Leviathan, Biocourt 7, Amber Dextrous, Sullivan H., Trub Hop Dropper, Sydney T., Jack H., Crabster, Champion of Crod, Scuttling Sideways, Towards Tomorrow, Garble the Moist, Lindsay W., Juicy Kiwi, and Murph, you hit my friend in the head with a D20 in Nashville. I'll see you in Dungeon Court. Oh my gosh, yes, come to Boston. Valen, Beep the Druid Barbarian, Carlin C., Emily S., Harry Cox, Noah the Bagel of All Things, Everything Bago, the Eladrin who just wants to hang out with his pet badger, Stripey, Dandy, Marcos P., Jordan P., the Occasional Crick Reporter, Learns the Balance, Druid, Dayton M., Dakota JP., Frida M., Pagos, Betrothed, Self-Proclaimed, Faye Prince, Andy E., Holly Hyena, Kristen Z., the I Will Use What You Love Against You, DM, Leah C., Paige H., Helen of Briz, May B., Pixel Stars, Akash Thakar, Timothy H., Kristen with a K., Cal, Just Cal, Commodore Galaxy, Edison N., Russell H., a monk named Dilgo, yes, the whole thing, yes, every time, Neos the Novice Monster Hunter, and Simon, I think, I feel like he needed us to meet him in a dream, but where do you know? What? Patrick, Lorelei, the Succubus, and Kira, her busty queen, Michael, the Esri Pop Idol, Morgan M., a peeling sticker, Stephen E., happy birthday to my one-of-a-kind husband, Andrew L., I found my tall Barney, love your wife, Sid, John Adams, yes, like the president, Meg, the mail carrier of Bohemia, James F., Capping Cappy, M4L, Wayfarer, currently in a trademark dispute with Mothership over the patent on the SS Storm Bjorn, Andrew B., Sir Smut, Cope Fresh, Barpo, Good Barrel, Barbarian, and Brewer Emeritus of Water Deep, Mary B., C., Melora D. Votee, Pendergreen's Bodyguard, Welshlander, Garrett G., One Big Curd, Mr. D., Dana D., Sean J., Mr. Silly Head, Ethan B., Renee, the Monster Captain, Hop the Dancing Rabbit, Hope's Dagger, the only dagger of hope, Olivia the Enchanting Bard, who will totally be making money and a grand novel off the Duck Team with an on-the-go All the Stops show, Blue Slade the Artificer, Michaela R., Riley S., Fico, Angry Wheat, the game itself, just trying to find himself, Tony G., Corvo's Calamitous Cumshot, hashtag CCC forever, sorry Jake, no need to apologize, Josh H., Jack, the Jax Jinxing Rogue on the Run with Bohemia's Balls, Mango Empanadas, Rented Mules, He Who Made Doug DeVirgin Darknut, James B., Trogdor, the Burninator, Clementine T., Caleb L.S., this message has been brought to you by fairies in support of hashtag CCC, Alex R., Cantrip, Dumbledore, the bear onesie-wearing barbarian with a bad back, Papa Wookie MJ, the BFG drinking tea by the sea, Samantha K., Cronus Maximus, Gino T., Fae Father, Father of the Fae, Mama Belle, this is your daily reminder to drink water, cheers folks, Sheldon the Mushroom Turtle, Strawman 18 Wheels of Rubber and Steel, Potato Master, Dr. Tolkus, Tis the Great, Derek D., and of course, Tristan G. Thank you all.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.